You're listening to the Gab Street Podcast, Columbus, Ohio's number one podcast for underground talent. Every week, we have new conversations with interesting individuals who contribute to the Columbus economy and its lively culture. You may find just what you're looking for right in your backyard. Let's get right into it.
But I really don't feel like if it's at this much of a disadvantage. Like, I feel like if you're already, if you need tips, and like, you're not that dire in need, you know, you're not relying on that income.
Yeah.
Solely, I guess.
Adam Himmel, who does Little Flea 614, is throwing an Instagram Live music festival this Sunday. Right. It's Columbus Goes Live. It's actually pretty sick. But okay. When this episode airs, that's already going to be over. So I'm actually recording again. I got it to work.
Okay.
So we're good to go. surprise intro.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, I like the surprise intro.
Yes. Perfect. We're just sliding into things as if we have no idea what we're doing. And I love it. This is the way you do a podcast, folks. I'm going to, instead of starting with the bullshit about Oklahoma air quality, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest instead. I thought that would work better, but...
you know what? God was like, no. You.
God hates Gab Street. Been confirmed. we're talking to a local artist today. Isn't that special? That never happens on this show, actually.
Hello.
His name is Noah, and he doesn't have a last name. In fact, his last name is no last name. Say hello.
Hello, me. No, I'm Noah, no last name. Hello, America.
You're bold to assume that America, the entire America, listens to this. Thank you for
say
that.
What up. You can say what up to one person in Spain, right?
All right.
Yeah, that's true.
This is to the one person in Spain.
No, wait. Actually, we got a listener in like some small country with a long-ass name.
I hope they're doing well. I hope they're getting the quarantine things they need.
We have at least one listener from the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. I just want to point that out. We are now global, folks.
Oh my god.
The list currently has Egypt, Germany, Ivory Coast, Vietnam, Argentina, Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, like Japan and Slovenia.
How many of those people are just clicking on the podcast to try to get your IP?
You know, that's really nice of you. I really appreciate that.
I'm sorry. My phone just went off, too. I need to silent that.
That's okay. You know what? Everything has gone to shit, including the show. And I think it's okay to reflect the current state of affairs.
Yeah, man. I'm so glad to be a part of a low point in the Gab Street history.
This is it, folks. It's only up from here.
Yeah.
Oh god.
I don't know, man. If I'm here, it can't be a low point. Just saying.
That's fair enough. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I have a quick shout out to make at the beginning here.
I'm sorry, that sounded super pretentious. I'm gonna take that all back right now.
I won't edit it out. Everyone's gonna hear that.
A shout out to someone who's not a click farm, a real listener.
Yes, yeah. This is someone who's an actual avid fan of the show. Anthony Cardosi, also known as Boggin from Revolter Pictures, is now a patron. He's a patron on our Patreon, so
Oni.
I want to give him a quick shout out for that. Yes, that deserves an applause. So thank you for supporting the show, Anthony. We love you, and thank you for sponsoring the show recently. So that was very cool. The first question I have for you, Noah, because we actually do have show notes for this episode, believe it or not.
Yes.
Do you think teeth are luxury bones?
No, not at all.
Okay, explain your reasoning.
Well, I mean, I feel like teeth pain is so overlooked because no one really gives a fuck about their teeth until it's hurting. And when it's hurting, you can't focus on anything else. The amount of, like, I don't know the anatomy or the what's going on in there, but like, the amount of nerve endings in there is just insane. And in conclusion, free dental care for all Americans.
That is a very thought out response, and I appreciate that.
No problem. I mean, teeth are just like shit.
The only response I've gotten to that is that teeth aren't bones, which is a very valid argument.
They're like calcium, right? Some sort of deposit.
Yeah, I think so.
It's enamel.
They're enamel. The chewy apparatus. We can't classify them as bones. But personally, I think they are, as they're classified by the United States healthcare system. They're classified as luxury bones, basically.
Wait, is that luxury though?
Is that for real?
No, not. They're not medically termed as luxury bones, Aaron. I'm just talking about how dental work is an elective surgery, and I think that's ridiculous.
Oh my god! You know what?
That like you need stupid. Teeth, like straight up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you need teeth.
No. I mean, Noah's explanation was on point. Where it's like if your teeth hurt, like you can't.
No
do
one
anything.
Knows you need teeth until they fucking hurt.
Dude, that's I feel that so deeply.
Dude. You don't need teeth. You just need a blender.
Need a blender and a straw and some really strong gums. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all we need in this life. Oh, God.
Honestly, oral hygiene is low-key complicated. Like, your gums can be, like, too, like, eroded. They can be, like, they can grow too heavy. Like, the amount of maintenance is too fucking much.
And we have now heard the first Columbus take on dental care on the show.
Good.
I think that's a milestone.
Again, this is another low point.
Okay, I'm going to ask you questions about your actual music now, because that's what we're here for. So, first of all, how would you describe what kind of music you create?
You know, one of the things that I get complimented on a lot is for being able to combine a lot of genres, and I don't think that's from a point of necessarily like being experimental or new wave or cutting edge. I just think I listen to a lot of music and I have trouble picking one genre.
Yeah,
but I guess if I'd have to define it, you know that point where like. The child pop star was like overly edgy to compensate for their you know like that Britney Spears era, the Justin. It's like that in terms of kind of edginess, but and more of like an alternative, you know. So that very in between scene between growing out of pop star and into established adult.
That was something I was specifically going to ask you about, was the kind of edgy theme to it. I wrote it down as a morbid theme, but you have projects titled things like The Puppy Mill and Songs to Kill Yourself To. And, at first glance, it's a little...
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a little... I was taken aback a little bit. But I think, which just, my honest reaction at first... But it's honestly a vibe, which I can't really think of a better word for it. But I dig it. To be honest,
it's not like edgy for the sake of being edgy, which I think some people kind of get mistaken for that because I'm generally a pretty pleasant person. I just think that things that aren't provocative are kind of boring, and just for the sake. Think of specifically titles. I think titles are so underutilized in songs. Like, I think that just like, unless it's made for radio and stuff, like if you're like an indie artist, you should title songs whatever the fuck you want, because like it's literally the title. Like, if I feel like it's just such a waste to just make the hook the title, that's like just one more platform where you can kind of create that whole intrinsic kind of emotion or idea that you're trying to sell. It's just like one more extra step kind of convey that in the best way possible. I just fucking hate it when people waste that on a shitty title.
Is there anybody that you listen to or have heard of that does a similar thing?
I guess an example would maybe JPEG Mafia. Like, he's gone on record by describing his song. It's just like his song titles don't mean shit, and like if you're off put by them, like you don't deserve to listen to it. And I definitely put some thought into it, but
how I
definitely
get it, thought. Jesus forgive me, for I'm a thought.
I didn't catch that again. Sleep deprivation.
Dude, I love Peggy.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic.
He's so good.
Fucking, one thing too. Is there a flag we can, some sort of national anthem we can play for him being a veteran and all that?
Oh shit! No, we don't have that right now. I'll put it in later.
Here's a you a cappella national anthem, please.
Oh, say can you see?
God bless America.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Yo, I almost couldn't remember what the national anthem was this bad.
You just hate America so much.
No comment.
See, okay, this isn't written in the show notes, but I think this might be valuable for you to know, Noah. Yeah. Earlier, while Zay and I were doing research, which is fucking around construed as research, he was playing a song of yours over his speakers, and it came through over his mic. Okay. And the vibe of listening to your music through someone else's mic quality is kind of a vibe.
The work?
Yeah, like the shitty radio quality, like it works.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean by that?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I spent over $1,000 on audio boxes and like speakers and microphones, and I still can't mix for shit. So, like,
No, that's not what I'm not dissing you at all.
What you're saying. I would like to make it clear. Like, everything I have out has been self-mixed, and I'm so happy not be in charge of that for this next project.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, no, much respect for that, though, for real. I have no idea how to do any audio engineering
it's
of any
sort.
It's
fucking impossible.
Yeah. I mean, Zay's done a little bit of it.
Every time you touch it, it's like, it's clipping. It's clipping. And I turned it down, and it's still fucking clipping somehow.
Okay, I know how that is with podcast recording, so, okay,
so
I relate to that.
Basically, what you want to do is you want to turn it. You want to put a limiter on that bitch. Then you want to turn that down, put a saturator on it, then compress that, and then maybe a little reverb.
Well, Noah, here's my point. I think I think that your melodic ability and your lyrical content, transcends the quality of the sound. Does that make sense?
Thank you. It does. Yeah, I definitely would say. I definitely would say lyricism is where it can almost lead to it being a crutch that I rely on. Like I consider myself a writer before I consider myself a musician.
Yeah, and you're like, or no, I might be thinking of somebody else, but you were trying to be in college an author, right?
No, you're thinking of someone else. But
I am thinking
I would
of
write
Griffin.
A book.
Never mind.
You're thinking of Griffin wants to be an author?
Yeah. That's not relevant to the show. We'll talk about that later.
Everyone who doesn't know, Griffin has completely shifted his life into becoming a full-time TikToker. Did you know that, Corey?
That does not surprise me whatsoever.
He has like 30,000 followers on TikTok.
Jesus Christ.
Shout out Griffin. Get that TikTok revenue.
Fair enough. Okay. I'll give me his handle. I'll put in the description of the episode. That's funny. But I do think you are a very skilled lyricist.
I appreciate that.
I really mean that by saying, like, I'm able to listen to it through basically what amounts to a 1920s radio. And it still comes through as very powerful art. So I have a lot of respect for your ability. That's very cool. Let's go into, here's something about me. If the Gab Street listeners, if I have not told them yet, but when I listen to music, I do not process lyrics very well at all until I read them, in front of me. And, I have not read your lyrics, so I have not processed them very well, but I feel them in the moment.
I believe they're on Genius.
What?
I believe they're on Genius.
They're on Genius?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
If you needed to.
I wanted to go into the themes that are in The Puppy Mill and Clutch Your Pearls. And, you know, what are the differences between those two projects?
Well, the puppy mill, it had been in the works for a while. I had kind of had the idea for a couple songs. I had to put that on a halt because I shipped off to boarding school for about a year, where I continued to kind of write most of my next LP that I'm in the process of recording. I came back to it in spring of last year. I wrote Like I Care, which turned out kind of be the
that's like your hit right now.
Shining, a one hit wonder.
It's over 50,000 streams, dude. That's awesome.
It is, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. Like, SoundCloud is crazy too. Like, it was at like 262, then it started getting 5,000 per day. The SoundCloud algorithm is crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. My friend, another local artist, Dylan Hopcraft, he has a cover of Dominic Fike's Three Nights. It has over 200,000. No, check out his cover. It has 200,000 streams on SoundCloud.
Jeez,
damn.
Like, that whole algorithm, I don't... sorry, back to the fluffy mill. So,
no, that's cool.
I finished up Like I Care, and I recorded it. I wasn't really sure what I was going for. I kind of wanted... Originally, I wanted skits interspersed through it. I was going through a very drum pop phase, so like very... instead of using natural drums for that, I used like natural, not natural, just like MIDI drum tracks from like a sample website.
Yeah.
It would have a very kind of artificial sound to it. A lot of chorus and stuff on the speakers, and kind of, I had really changed a lot after that year in boarding school, and I wanted that to kind of be like a, but I had decided to keep most of the lyrics the same. Actually, Norman Rockwell was originally called Drugs Are Cool, and the whole idea of it, was like, just like kind of every drug that you can do that's like socially acceptable until it like turns into like heroin, which is like you can get pretty far up the line. Anyway, I kind of abandoned that idea, but the whole idea was to kind of capture more immature kind of sense of who I was, and just to kind of maintain those lyrics and keep them the way they were. And even though I was releasing them a year later, just to kind of be able to kind of encapsulate a time period was really important to me.
Yeah.
May
I ask about your experience in boarding school?
Yeah, it was fucking miserable. I easily the loneliest, saddest times of my life. Like I didn't see family for months. Like it was in bed by 8 p.m. So I got, you know, like I really sat down and kind of not disciplined myself into becoming a fully rounded musician through that time. And I really, I guess I owe a lot to that in that sense, but,
do a lot of work for someone's discipline, I can imagine.
I mean, just the fucking isolation though. It's like,
yeah.
What
was the impetus for it? What it led to you going there?
It was a kind of a multitude of things. I had just kind of been acting out very oppositional and defiant, where I was like from, and I was getting like detentions and in school suspensions like every other day, and I assumed my dad was bluffing when he threatened to send me to boarding school, but then it happened. And honestly, like, just because I really had no perspective, I was low key eager to go, because I wanted out of there. I was originally from Yellow Springs, which is super like other for like not for tourists. It's a very like toxic small town kind of environment for the locals.
Really,
I really was.
That's interesting.
Oh yeah.
I really want to know that perspective. Yeah.
Me and Corey love Yellow Springs. Like, we think it's a cool town.
Yeah. I mean, everybody that's a tourist loves Yellow Springs. But I mean, it's like, it's genuinely like everyone's talking about everyone. Everyone thinks they have a right to know everyone's business. It's, it can be very unhealthy. There's a lot of very talented, cool, kind people there, but at the same time, Yellow Springs is not different than any other town in Columbus. You know, there are still the same closeted, biased, prejudiced people. Mm-hmm. Just kind of disguising it with Grateful Dead bar decals.
Damn.
Yeah, I've never heard that take before.
That's an interesting perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, like one of the things my friends from Yellow Springs say to kind of, because everyone hates Yellow Springs that's from there, is that they say, you know, like, everyone from Yellow Springs hates it. And I think everyone wherever they are hates kind of where they are for at least a little bit, or at least that's been my experience in Ohio.
Personally, yeah, I feel that.
I mess with Ohio. I think it's fine. Like, yeah. I could never, like, write, you know, like, American football, like, about wanting to leave my hometown. Because, like, Ohio's fine. You know, like, that should be our tagline.
Ohio's fine.
Welcome to Ohio. Ohio's fine. Oh.
Yeah.
It's a good I want to submit that to Mayor Ginther.
Ohio's fine.
But... yeah, I mean, boarding school. Jeez, it was so crazy to have so many. I don't want to say rights, but like turns out, you know, they were privileges taken away from you. Like when you're allowed to shower and how long you can shower for, and you know, just like schoolwork and everything like that. Very difficult. But I mean, in a lot of ways, I totally can think of it. Like I graduated in 3 years from high school. And it made me like who I am today. I have, I still have a couple close friends, from there. Like, I mean, it just completely changed the way I wrote music.
I mean, that's where the best relationships come from. Is that kind of hardship.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, and that's something like, you know, I was told going into this, you know, I forget who it was, but they just told me, you know, like bad shit will make your art fucking sick. You know, it was obviously it wasn't like that, but it's absolutely right. You know, like if you're an artist and you're going through some shit, or even if you're not an artist, like when you get on the other end of that, like I implore you to like create something, because it'll be like 10 times better from where you started.
When we did the anniversary party, when we did the roast, mm-hmm. we had Cecil Heyman, who's a local comedian, come up.
Yes.
And do local. A set.
He has the record, right? Record
yes, for he has the record for the longest episode.
Shout out Cecil.
Yeah, shout out Cecil real
I'm
quick.
I'm going to do as many shout outs as I can.
So. Yes, please do. This is the place for it. Okay. But one of the first things he said was, you know, Corey, you live a pretty good life, and that means you're never going to make good art.
I mean, I think there's truth to that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this isn't art, it's just not professionalism, so it's okay.
I think there's truth to you never making good art. Corey. No, that's not what I mean.
Thank you, Noah.
I had to shut the dogs up. I'm sorry about that. But
that's cool. No problem.
It shouldn't be a problem.
It's all good.
Yeah. We're live, baby.
Yes. Fuck it, we're doing it live.
Yeah, I was AFK for a second. Did you guys say anything to me while I was gone?
Nah, that was cool.
Okay, good.
Noah, we might have answered this a little bit already, but mm-hmm. What would you say makes you a unique artist in Columbus?
I guess in Columbus, I'd say I take music pretty seriously. Not to say that other people don't. I just I'm someone who pretty firmly believes in every genre of anything. You know, like every niche category has an audience.
Hmm.
And I just kind of I like doing the full spectrum of things. Like I've had options to get a manager or an agent, and I've turned them down. One because I don't want to pay someone at all to do anything. I don't want to pay anyone. But two, I like kind of being in control of that and kind of remaining independent and things like that.
I feel that.
I think like. The great thing about Columbus bands are that I think some Columbus bands start off just, you know, like making music in their basement, and because of kind of, I want to say the lack of music, but just like the open platforms with such a short kind of wait list almost, they can kind of get on stage and then really like kind of find their audience and really create something. But I think that kind of what defines me differently than artists is that, you know, like regardless of how long the line is, I'm going to be standing in it waiting for like an opportunity. like I said before, or I didn't say this, but before I met my band and things, I really, you know, decided to like learn all I could about streaming itself and how to kind of optimize that. And that's really kind of gotten me to where I am. I rely pretty heavily on streaming, you know, because I just moved to Columbus. I've been here about a little over a year.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, like Yale Springs, boarding school, Columbus.
Okay.
That's the order. But yeah, I just think that I take a business approach to it, I guess. And not in like a weird way, like not like the founder with Michael Keaton, where he like steals McDonald's pretty much.
Yeah.
I guess I just know what I want to get out of music and the music industry. And that's kind of what I suggest to all my Columbus music friends. And I don't know. I just think that like just kind of knowing what I wanted has helped me carry, you know, me and the boys and the brand in a different way that I don't see everybody else doing.
I think that's a good answer. It's important to have direction when you're doing something creative.
Yeah.
You obviously got to have goals. And I'm curious, what are your goals for 2020?
2020, we are releasing our first studio album. It's like the first time we've ever recorded in studio. It's the first time I had a band.
That's so fucking awesome. Pumped.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm so excited to just blow everyone away because, like, you know, like, I know, for example, like, the Lizard King, I mean, that's, like, me and my friend Zoran from Yellow Springs, we made that, like, stoned off of, like, two bowls in 2 hours, you know? But, like, this stuff I've, like, literally spent, like, hundreds of hours on, you know? Like, all of boarding school is when I was really kind of focusing on this album. And I'm just, like, so excited. Like, I've just never worked hard on anything, and it's just going to feel so good to get it out.
That's really exciting, dude. I can't wait to hear that.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. Yeah. There's been hella setbacks because of the Rona, but, yeah. You know, we're making do.
Yeah, while we're dealing with this global challenge.
Yes, I cannot see you. I can only see your little hot dog, your little weird avatar.
Oh, yes. For those of you who don't know, my Discord picture is a stupid little cartoon hot dog with a face. It's just kind of been what I've had forever.
No,
were you gonna say
Aaron? Yeah, I'm on your Instagram right now, and I see a picture of you with someone who's clearly your girlfriend, wearing a Louis Vuitton bag.
What? Wait.
And you, this is like a copy paste girlfriend.
Oh, Kendall.
Happy birthday, yeah. Babe. Is this a joke?
No. What are you talking about? I mean, yeah, like, it's a joke.
Is that like an inside joke, or are you just having a laugh?
No, I very impulsively. Everyone was wishing Kendall Jenner happy birthday.
Oh.
And okay. November 3rd of 2017. You really scrolled a little.
Have you been scrolling for like 20 minutes?
That's three years ago.
It's not that far. Okay, I'm on the moat.
I don't have that many posts, I guess, but...
Yeah, you have like 30 posts, dog.
Bro, yeah, get on that Instagram game, dude.
It's a joke.
I make one post a day. Come on, get on my level.
Oh. It is impressive.
Shit, we lost direction entirely.
Oh, I have a question. Noah.
Yeah.
In the video I saw of you, the mm-hmm. song, it was Cheap Wine, the NPR Tiny Desk concert.
Yeah.
I saw a Flatbush Zombies Vacation Hell poster, and they're like one of my favorite groups of all time. I wanted to ask what they mean to you.
Well, Flatbush Zombies, are they from Colorado?
No, they're from Flatbush, okay. New York.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. But I don't know, just like the huge kind of there's just kind of a huge East Coast stoner movement within Colorado itself. My cousin, who is from Colorado, who moved back to Ohio, he kind of really like brought that just huge tapestries of like juice and stuff everywhere. And I really kind of wanted to like get into it. and I tried the, I listened to their first album. I didn't love it, but when I heard Vacation in Hell, like, I really like I really enjoyed it, just in terms of like aesthetic and direction, especially I mean, just like bringing in like indie rock bands like Portugal the Man and shit and stuff.
I know, that was a crazy feature. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
Is that the album with RIPCD?
No, that's Vacation in Hell is the latest one. RIPCD is the one before. Okay. That's the one you didn't like so much. Noah, have you heard their mixtape, Better Off Dead? Because that, I think, is their best work.
I haven't. Is that on SoundCloud? Or?
Yeah, it's only on SoundCloud. And
okay.
I think that mixtape is going to be studied for decades to come. I really think that it's a masterpiece. I think that it's
like, I'll have to check that out.
It's like, it's some like it's some legendary shit, really.
Okay.
I to this day have never heard anything like that again. That's like,
really? That's high praise.
It is like,
shout out Flashfoot Zombies.
Yeah, it's like, it's a, I can't even explain it, man. It's like Grateful Dead meets like NWA. Not NWA, really? like it's like Grateful Dead meets Wu-Tang. That's what it's
okay. Like. Yeah, no, and that, I mean, that's kind of like what, I mean, just seeing that kind of the chain that Juice has of the Grateful Dead logo, you know, like most like my dad was a huge Deadhead.
Nice. My mom was a huge Deadhead.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking crazy.
Did your dad like go around the country following them?
I don't know if he did that. My aunt did that.
My mom did it. Yo. Really,
she's like a like on the floor of like hotels and shit. Deadhead.
That's, you know, there's in like such a small chance that your aunt and my mom were at the same concert.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a pretty good chance, honestly.
I don't know how many concerts or something. They did.
It's a small world, folks.
Actually, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like all that Grateful Dead did for just like concerts in general. Like, they were the first people to have like moving lights and shit.
Really?
Yeah, because they did it because, you know, like
LSD. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It enhanced the trip, so they, you know, decided to like start, you know, making it where the lights kind of flash to the beat of the music and stuff, and it was just like super influential, obviously.
I had no idea they started that. That's amazing. Yeah.
So would you say they're one of your influences, Noah?
The Grateful Dead?
Yeah.
No. Grateful Dead, no. Oh my god, their music is so fucky. It's like, I can't listen to like 20-minute songs. Like, I just can't.
Yeah, I feel that.
I definitely, what is it? The one with the fucking turtles. Tupelo Station? No, that's not. That's Uncle Tupelo. I'm combining two different things. Terrapin Station. That's probably my favorite album. I definitely like a lot of their stuff. I think that I'm not a huge jam band guy.
Who would you say your influences are then?
In terms of that era, definitely like the Stones and the Beatles.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Like the best of both worlds. Like the Beatles were like the Beatles later stuff. Like, I mean, it sounds like it could be on the radio, like the top 40s today.
Yeah.
Which is just so insane to me. And then the Rolling Stones just like, I mean, they just like pump out these honky tonk classics. And like, I grew up on like, Bob Dylan and James Taylor and like, you know, like real, like just like harmonica, guitar and vocals.
You know, speaking of Bob Dylan, did you know he just released a song today?
I did. I got sent the article.
Yeah.
He's been releasing weird odes. You know, he odes is in like real sentiments to people. He released one, I don't know how long ago it was, but it was for John Lennon. And Bob Dylan and John Lennon talked twice. Like, during like this time, like Bob Dylan, like, because I'm a huge Beatles stan, like, it's like embarrassing. Like, Bob, like this was like just when like Lennon was kind of getting into that Rubber Soul era and shit, and like Bob Dylan did not give a fuck about the Beatles because Bob Dylan's a god, and so like John Lennon was like busy like drooling over Bob Dylan and stuff, and he just kind of like shrugged him off. And so everyone was really, and so there was kind of just like this infamous, not necessarily a beef that they had, but just kind of this awkwardness where like the Beatles would fanboy over Bob Dylan and Bob Dylan would just like be Bob Dylan. Like he would like not reciprocate in any way. And so like everyone was like, why the fuck did Bob Dylan release this song? And no one knows. I don't know.
Maybe he has Corona. He's trying to make amends.
It could have been fucking gun violence, bro.
Dude, according to Google, it's his first original release in 8 years.
Jeez.
Really?
It's a 17-minute song inspired by the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
Oh.
I haven't heard it yet. That sounds crazy.
That's wild, dude.
Bob Dylan's lyrics. Fuck. Like you know, like it, like in terms of influence, like Bob Dylan, like his like lyricism.
I can definitely hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like,
that totally makes sense.
Yeah. Like, I definitely like grew up on like a lot of folk, and I wouldn't say country. I actually, no, definitely not country, but like the Ava Brothers and Iron and Wine. And then just kind of like, and then that transitioned to kind of like Coldplay and the Stones and the Beatles.
Yeah.
But
what do you
like,
usually play around town?
Where do I usually play around town?
Yeah.
I love Kerouac.
Good spot.
When I first moved to Columbus and I didn't know anyone, I was like, I've never done a show before. Like, I guess I should like try doing a show. I like started going to their open mics. Like I made a few friends and like I had my first like show where like my name was on a poster at Kerouac, and it just kind of took off from there.
That's sweet.
We were talking about earlier before we started recording, like I love Wild Goose. Like I think anything,
yes,
just like any sort of crazy collective like that is super fucking cool.
Wild Goose is wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful staff. Like,
yeah,
everyone's
shout
so
out,
nice.
Shout
there.
Out Lydia real quick, because for real, like she's the interim director of all of their things right now. She got a lot of shit just thrown on her shoulders all at once, and it seems like she's handling it beautifully. And I booked with her for the Gab Street party, and it could not have
gone better. Was it affordable?
What was that?
Was it affordable? Because I've been looking into it.
The artist rate there is $50 an hour, and that includes setup and takedown.
Okay. I mean, that's not that bad.
Yeah, it was pretty decent.
Yeah.
But I think that you would find a good audience at Rambling House.
Okay.
Do you know where that is?
I've never heard of that, actually.
Okay, I'm going to do a little plug. Adam Himmel's going to love me for this. But Rambling House is a little spot up in Old North that kind of feels like a living room, in my opinion. But they brew their own sodas and such, and they're delicious.
Word.
And they have you know, folksy and bluegrass artists there all the time, as well as some jazz acts. So I think that if you were to play there, I think you'd get a wonderful reception. So I can definitely talk to him about that.
Are you guys, I think this is Nashville. Let me look it up real quick. Are you guys, do you know Cafe Bluebird? Have you heard of that?
I do not.
Oh, no.
Let me just double check that I'm not. No, it's in Austin. Is it in Austin? I don't want to say some dumb shit on the internet.
Road trip.
It's not in fucking Colorado. I don't know where it is. I guess I don't know what it's called either, but Cafe Blue something, maybe it's Blue Jay, but it's in kind of like the, like that Nashville kind of like super culturally blues like acoustic guitar area, and basically like a bunch of artists got like discovered or something like that, and they have these open mic nights where like literally like reps from like Capitol and Atlanta just like randomly on these nights, like it like anyone can show up, and everyone who shows up is so talented. It's just like, and that's what I don't understand, there's no criteria to get in. I'm pretty sure you just have to pay like $10.
Really?
And then you play in front of like 50 people. I went once. It was so amazing. I mean, like, the line was around the block for this open mic night.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they do it, but
I heard there was a cool open mic night in Yellow Springs. Actually, one of the shop owners told me that on Thursday nights they have an open mic night that some pretty popular people play at. Apparently,
that sounds like a Wild, no, not Wild Goose. The fucking goat. Spirited Goat.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's the Emporium, and then there's the Spirited Goat. Bearded Goat traffics heroin.
Oh, okay.
Which, well, I'm fine with, like fuck that guy, like stop trafficking heroin. Like, I'm okay with calling him out on the fucking stream.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, and that's what everyone asks me. Like, everyone's like, "So, do you love Yellow Springs?" And their second question is, "So, I heard they traffic heroin at Spirited Goat."
I had never heard of that.
If I can do, yeah, I'm just exposing everybody.
Okay, I mean, I'm all for it. Go right ahead. Dude, people need to be called to justice.
Do we have any feds the listening cap stream?
Hey, feds. Thank you for listening this week.
The data show that.
Go ahead and
one guy in Egypt.
Click the X in the top right corner, and we're going to be all good. Don't worry about
Corey,
it.
Yeah, Corey, all of your listeners from other parts of the world are actually just CIA agents using VPNs.
The Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan is a lie. So sad. Why does that have such a... Is that just Jordan? Is that just what the full name of Jordan is, or is that a part of Jordan?
Say it again.
The Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. Is that, like, the full name of the country of Jordan? Or is that a part of Jordan? Look it up, Jamie.
All right, I'm on it.
Pull it up, Jamie. Young Jamie?
Young Jamie.
I have to know this.
Jamie.
What do you guys think of Feet of Clay?
What was it?
The conversation we had like a couple months ago, Corey, where we were just talking about projects of 19, and I never got to ask you about Feet of Clay.
Projects of what? I'm sorry.
Just rap projects. Feet of Clay, Earl Sweatshirt.
I actually haven't listened to that yet. When did that come out?
I think it came out in the fall. It wasn't too well received. I think it was supposed to be kind of like it was just like a tiny EP.
How the fuck did I miss this?
It was kind of underwhelming.
I mean, I also
wasn't a stain, but like,
I have a bit of a hot take that people won't like, but I am not a huge fan of some rap songs.
Yeah, I mean, like, I definitely want to say that because I feel like I'll be like executed from like every subreddit I'm a part of if I say that. But, I mean, I definitely think that his first two projects are better than some rap songs. Like, I appreciate what some rap songs did, but I connected with Doris, and I don't like Shit I Don't Go Outside a lot more.
I agree with you on that. What's up, Aaron?
Quick side note. Jordan, officially known as the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan.
Shit, dude.
It's officially called the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan.
That's pretty
cool,
dude.
Shout out the Hashemite Kingdom. Shout out the King of Jordan. Maybe
you know
it's
funny.
Do you think royalty is listening?
Dude, when I Googled the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, there's a video that was uploaded to YouTube from 2 days ago, 21 seconds, and it's this guy saying, "I'm stuck in the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, so I took a video of a kid taking out the trash, part one." And what I'm wondering is, where's part two? And why is he stuck in Jordan? Is it because of the coronavirus?
Oh my god.
The description says, "If Hamid the Dolphin Man or anybody else famous sees this, I will eat ice cubes live." Hey, Noah, do you think you count as famous yet?
No.
I want this guy to eat ice cubes.
Well, that is something we should talk about because your music is widely used on TikTok right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And normally, I'm personally, I have a little bit of scorn for TikTok because I'm a boomer. I don't have it yet, and really, it just seems kind of childish to me, but there is value in, and we were talking about this before we started recording, in seeing your work used by someone else to create something, and I just wanted to ask you how it feels to see it, such widespread use.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's kind of surreal being able to see just kind of other people take something and turn it into something else. I don't feel famous. I mean, I know I'm not famous, but I mean, there's just like some crazy feeling about like a stranger, like just like having liking something enough to kind of dedicate like 5 minutes out of their day and kind of post it and embrace it. Yeah. I mean, like I would love for, I mean, that was like the new fucking, if you want to talk about like gold rush for royalties and the music industry in general, I mean, that's TikTok. Like that's where artists
like blow up. Like the most popular songs that hit the charts are usually because they're like a trending song on TikTok.
Do you think as an artist I'm playing myself by not being on TikTok?
Who do you distribute with?
DistroKid.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you can, I don't know if, yeah, you can go in and opt in. Like they had like a million fucking people ask them to do it. And so they finally, you can collect royalties from TikTok. And yeah, I mean, I think you're like just from a point of someone who's spent hours and hours of just like music marketing research on the internet. I think you're playing yourself if you don't take every opportunity to promote that shit. Like every platform. I mean, it literally can't hurt. Like, I get streams from some Bollywood radio station where it's like the Aladdin soundtrack and then Like I Care. And, you know, like, I'll fucking take it.
Yeah.
Zay, yeah. I think if you get your music on TikTok, I will formally ask Joseph Keith to make a TikTok with Golden Hour.
Mm-hmm. My music's already on TikTok, I think. But like,
well, then
I don't,
we need to get him on that shit.
Oh man, like, I need to make a TikTok, and I don't know how to do that shit without being cringy. I need to stay true to myself, but like, I also wanna expand into TikTok. I just don't know how to do that.
Learn all the dances.
I think we're living in a time where artist integrity is at its kind of lowest. Like, there, like every twice a week, I look at like the hundreds and hundreds of dollars I've spent like pouring into like my guitar and my laptop and recording equipment, and then I look at this fucking kid like just fucking like stealing just reading Twitter, like this is just reading tweets from Twitter and like making like just getting fucking famous from reading tweets, and I sometimes just want to give it all up, but I just can't stoop to that level.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Can't do POVs. I can't fucking dance. I won't.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that trend of just, it's basically stealing other people's content.
Yeah.
You're just doing a funny voice. That's it.
Yeah, no, I mean, everything, like, I'm not someone who, I remember there was that huge, like, Reddit trend to try and get, like, Instagram people to stop stealing their memes and stuff. But, like, I mean, I knew that was a war you're just gonna lose in terms of like intellectual property, but I totally agree. It's like, it's just like, I'm gonna confess something on here. I've tried it, okay? I've tried taking the easy way out, and it's just, I don't know what it is. It's just like I absolutely have no passion. Like it hurts, every inch hurts, and it's not from some sort of, at least I don't think it's from some sort of artistic integrity. Like I don't know. Like, I'll sell out, like, next album. Like I'll sell out as soon as I need. It's just something so painful and cringy about doing it. Thing with those, you know, those like YouTubers that like make the fucking like fever dream animations of like one frame per minute.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
It just like, I mean, I imagine like when they got their animation degree, wherever, like that's not what they wanted to do. But, I mean, if they can like, they can swallow their pride, buckle down, and crank out some Elsa Spider-Man weird shit.
Yeah,
good on them.
To do a complete 180. I have another question I want to ask you, and this is something I'm particularly interested in knowing because.
Yes.
I'm a person who enjoys bringing people together, and networking is a passion of mine. In fact, we're going to be throwing a lot of networking events over the summer. And I wanted to ask how involved you are with the local scene of other bands in similar genres.
Yeah, in terms of similar genres, I'd say there are definitely a few. That's kind of what's weird about doing gigs, especially at house shows and parties and things like that, is that, you know, like, we play all the bangers and things like that, but, I mean, there are people that come to see just, like, the acoustic guitar and vocals, and they don't get that because that's not what, you know, the party wants necessarily.
Yeah.
And I feel like most of the house, most of the Columbus music scene is ingrained with house shows, which is like awesome. I mean, that's like how you like, that's all like street, like word of mouth and stuff. It doesn't necessarily like pay the bills. But, I don't know.
I didn't like, know that actually. That's something I feel like I should have known.
What?
Being who I am, but just the fact that there was such a healthy house show economy.
Yeah, I don't know much about that either. Could you elaborate?
I mean, like, again, I'm pretty new to them too. Like I said, like I've been releasing music for a while, but I did my first house show in July, I think. I mean, it's just kind of like you just someone with a basement, you know, it's like where the ceiling's like higher than 5 feet. They get into a, they get down there, rock out some jams, you know, and people drink and stuff. And I mean, I think that's definitely like, I have a lot of admiration, like, for those house show bands. I'd say Rat Attack or Grigio from Dayton. They're very like house show bands, you know, like very like Weezer, Ween, kind of like dirty grungy kind of inspired. And they've definitely inspired me. I mean, just like the energy they bring, it's just like a whole different thing. But
Zay, I think I figured it out. We're just not cool enough to be invited to these shows.
It's okay. Yeah. I'm not invited either.
You just kind of barge in.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously there haven't been many since the quarantine, or any really.
Well, I mean, fair enough. I would rather there not be right now.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's not something that, like, I necessarily, like, feel that I need to attend either. Like I said, like, I've realized that, like, I do fairly need to rely on streaming. Because, like, that's when people are going to be in the right kind of mood to hear that music. I definitely, like, love doing shows at, like, Donata's Basement or, like...
That's a good venue. I like that.
Yeah. It's crazy. I love being able to say that I played in a Donata's Basement. It's kind of like the What the Fuck Is Up, Denny's meme. Columbus. Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about, like, Columbus culture, the Donata's Basement.
I saw the worst comedy show I've ever seen in the Donata's Basement. I'm pretty proud to say that.
Yeah,
they forced me to sit in the front row, and they just used me as their material the whole time.
I mean, that's kind of what like I admire about like the Columbus music scene is that we force so many comedians and like musicians into the same boat, like to the point where like we have them alternating. So like we'll have like a punk band play. Like there was like this fundraiser for the Australian wildfires, and it really went comedian band.
That's kind of cool, though. I like that.
It was. I mean, it was definitely, like, a lot of, like, the vibe switch was very sudden, I guess. But, I mean, I've never really noticed that anywhere else. I mean, the first show I ever did, like, I had to wait for, like, three people to finish their, like, comedy set.
Interesting.
Yeah. Never been to one of those.
Wow. Would you say that, like... Like I'm not a comedy nerd per se. I'd say I listen to a fair amount, but I don't really experiment with like local stuff. Like, would you say that like if you could just like based off of like other towns and stuff, like Columbus has a pretty booming comedy scene? Because I mean, I feel like I see a lot of comedians, but I wonder if comedians are just everywhere.
So I don't know about comparison to other cities.
Yeah,
but my view on it has changed since I first got into it. When I first started talking to people in the scene, they were all saying that it's dead. And I think that it has had a lot of growth in the past, like, 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
In that, you know, more open mics are popping up, more venues are being involved. And they're actually building an improv comedy dedicated facility over on Long Street downtown. Wow. And it's the first, like, Columbus comedy club that's dedicated to that. And I think that's what the scene has needed really for a long time. Right, yeah, it's insane.
It's great. Like, it's going to be something. Like, you got to get a fucking plaque or something, bro, because you guys contributed to that.
I hope so. That would be cool. I really hope I did. No, I plan on going there a lot. And we're going to be interviewing some comedians. I'm not going to list them now because you got to be a patron to see our full schedule. So you can go check that out. But... we are going to be interviewing three comedians over the summer this year, and some of them may actually end up being live recordings. We might have them doing a set beforehand, and then we do the recording with them, like, at a venue. So, speaking of venues, Noah, I think if you want to do a show that's more focused on the vibe that you have on your Spotify account, mm-hmm. or it's more of the acoustic kind of feel, I think Rambling House would be perfect for that, because a lot of their shows have that kind of vibe. Do you know the band Hello Luna by any chance?
It sounds really familiar.
I interviewed their lead singer, Kenzie Coyne, a few weeks ago, and they normally are fully electric, but she did a solo show where it was mostly acoustic at Rambling House, and it was perfect. So I think it would be a good spot for you.
Okay, yeah, that'd be sick.
Yeah, you could probably even do solo stuff there.
Yeah, I would like to kind of go back to doing solo stuff, because I really, like, first time I got comfortable, I was a big busker. I don't know if you guys are, like, familiar with that word. For some reason, weird pockets of Columbus aren't. Busker means just basically playing an instrument for money.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, you know what? I have heard of that word.
Yeah.
Are there any places in Columbus where you're allowed to do that?
I don't know. The rules are so fucking specific. I was a bit of a fucking pioneer, if you will, in Yellow Springs in terms of busking. Like, the minute I learned how to play ukulele, I was like, all right, I know four chords. Like, time to be on this block for 9 hours.
That's the grind, though, dude.
Exactly. And, like, in Yellow Springs is a tourist town, so people come in to kind of spend money, get a little fucking wind chime or something, and you know, tip, like, the little, like, 12-year-old playing a Jason Mraz song on the ukulele. So I'd make like $200, like, on a good day.
Damn.
On a week, right? And so, and then everybody started cashing in. So, like, in fifth grade, we, like, learned how to play instruments. So, like, literally, like, people, like, every half block, there'd be a fucking oboist or some, like, mass xylophone player with this, like, 10-year-old trying to fucking cash in on my Monopoly. And so I don't know what. I don't know if it was just for Yellow Springs or why, but they actually, like, put in place these busking rules where you could only be at a certain spot for an hour. And
really,
it is a little bit of a. I think people, like, obviously people were so much more forgiving when it was, like, a child, but, like, I mean, it got pretty fucking competitive. I really don't see that many buskers in Columbus. I think I've seen one in Old Westerville.
I don't think I've ever seen one, actually.
Maybe that's a market to expand into.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, potentially. And then we can make the rules stricter here, too.
Right.
That's the aim of the movement.
Yeah.
So, Noah, where can people find your work and support you?
I am on all the streaming sites except Bandcamp. I apologize. I have a website that does not get used enough. So if you want to take advantage of my website, it's noahnolastname.com. You can find out about where our next shows are, what new music we have coming out. We'll have a Teespring store opening up pretty soon.
Hell yeah. We use Teespring too.
Teespring's fucking... Shout out Teespring.
It is very nice. Shout out Teespring. Do you have anything else on that?
On Teespring or just...
Or just, like, where people can find you.
Yeah, like I said, I'm on all the streaming sites. It'd mean a lot. Take 30 seconds out of your day to listen to a song.
Cool. Do you have any last minute shout outs to make?
Shout out Mitchell and KJ. They couldn't be here. Mitchell plays bass and KJ plays drums. I started off as a solo person, just with no one in the last name, expanded into a band. We decided not to ditch the name. Kind of keep that momentum going, but it is 100% a group effort, and they put in so much work, and I'm incredibly grateful for them. So check out their shit too.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. Do you want to go into that a little deeper before we wrap up about the timeline?
Yeah, I mean, I can, like, summarize it real quick. So like I said, I started playing ukulele, then I transitioned to guitar, then I was insecure because I was in middle school. And I didn't want anyone to know that I knew how to sing, like, that I, like, ever sang, because singing's gay. Singing's for gays. So I didn't sing until, and then I just decided, like, I didn't sing in front of anyone for that entire stretch. Like, people knew I busked, and then I got bullied for singing. So I stopped singing, and then I spent all my birthday and Christmas money on just, like, a Shure SM57, like, you know, a little bummy microphone, and I recorded just this little album. I call it a mixtape now. I recorded that. I just kind of dropped that on everybody, and people didn't realize that I was still playing music or that I even wrote music. I kind of took off from there. I was releasing things on and off. Once I went to boarding school and came back and I was out of high school, I really decided to buckle down and focus on music. I met KJ, I met Mitchell. We started playing music as a band. We've been playing music as a band in Columbus. We've been recording with Mooney Studios. So shout out Jacob Mooney. If you want to record anything, go to Jacob. He is literally, like, the best person ever. I mean, he'll only charge like the minimum that it takes to keep his, like, lights on. The nicest guy. I fucking love Jacob. Is amazing.
That's cool.
Frankie Salil records with him. Let's see. Who else?
I know Frankie.
Something else. Ohio, of them. What's the one fucking band? I don't know. They're old. It's okay. They're like 40. They're like actually old. but yeah, I mean, we started recording with Jacob. We'll have an album coming out. I mean, I really think, like, this album has defined our sound, because, like I said, we bounce around a lot. I'm thinking about starting up a couple side projects to kind of, you know, better define what genre is knowing the last name, so that way people hear one song. If people hear one song, they won't only like, you know, two others. They can really like the whole thing. That's about it.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good synopsis.
Cool, thanks.
Cool. Yeah, I will compliment your synopsing skills.
Thank you. I love to summarize.
Any more shout outs to make?
Shout out Adderall for keeping me going. And I don't know if I.
What'd you say, Aaron?
Do we shout out Anthony?
Yes.
Okay.
Shout out Gabstreet Patreon.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Patreoners are very generous people, because that's just money you don't have to spend.
That's very true. It's a very selfless act.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/GabstreetPodcast. And check that shit out. Shout out to Noah No Last Name for coming on the show this week.
Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah.
Thank you for making the remote episodes go easier. And
no,
that was a fun one. I really fuck with this. Sir. So,
nice.
Thank you very much, dude.
Oh, can I plug one more thing?
Yes, of course.
So by the time you hear this, I'll have announced our album. It's our first studio album. It's called Misery Loves Company.
Nice.
If you go to my Instagram or website or anything like that, there'll be a pre-save link where you can pre-save all the songs. I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. It's, again, like I said, it's the only thing I've ever fucking worked on. It's hard in my life, so again, check it out.
Go stream that shit, friends.
Nice.
It's gonna be dope.
Cool.
If you don't know what's going on, clearly you're not on the mailing list, so if you're a real pedestrian and part of the pedestrian movement, go ahead and hop on that mailing list. You'll know who's being interviewed for the next 2 weeks. But if you're not, you're not in the know. You're not a real pedestrian, so we gotta meet that. We got to meet that standard, you know? Thank you for listening this week. We will be back with another Wednesday morning edition, just like every week. Quarantainment will not stop us. We are going to continue generating content for all of you lovely people. And we'll catch you next week. Thank you for listening this week, everybody.
Yeah, peace.
Peace.